It's officially supposed to start at 6. Cody, are you still there?
I'm here. I'm kind of in the dead zone for just 1 or 2 minutes, but I'm here.
Okay, and I'm not sure if Tyler has answered yet or not.
He's going to start leading these meetings.
Yeah,
he's better.
Sounds good to me.
It's good for you.
Sounds good.
You got the word doctor around the way.
Okay.
You know it's good for you.
So, we've got three of us out of the four, so we can go ahead and start.
We can.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and start. Hopefully you can hear everything.
I can hear loud and clear.
Okay.
Would you like me to go ahead?
Go ahead.
Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025, the Brooklyn Special Service District Board meeting. This meeting's been noticed. Attending is from the board is Brent White, Matt Dyring, and Tyler Monroe, right? Did I get the right one?
Cody. Was that Cody or was that Tyler?
It's Tyler. Yeah, Cody is not with us this evening. Also,
Cody is.
Oh, Cody. So Tyler's the one. Tyler's not the one not with us.
Well, he'll probably be join us. Okay. He said he would.
Commissioner Brown is here from the Sevier County, Parker versus Mack from Jones and DeMille, Scott Hansen from...
Everywhere.
Are you wearing kind of an Elsinore hat tonight? Or?
No, sir.
He works for us.
I'm Brooklyn Special Service District guy.
Okay.
Operator. Yeah, I'm the operator.
And then Mrs. Barney. For Pete's sakes.
Debbie Barney.
Debbie, there we go. I forgot your first name. And then this is Malcolm Nash from Sevier County. The first item on the agenda is the minutes from the August meeting. We'll throw a few around.
There we go.
A few around. These are the ones that I emailed earlier. But before I get into the minutes, just reminding the board that the group decided to meet, I think it's the fourth Tuesday of each month. Does that sound right?
Well, yes, but we moved it up last month.
So it's throwing us off a little bit.
And there was some reason we did it. I guess this is the fourth Tuesday, isn't it?
I think so.
So, yeah.
So we'll usually meet the fourth Tuesday. I'll try and remember to send out a notice or a reminder.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
A week before.
I got today.
Yeah. And I kind of realized this morning that I probably neglected to do that last week. So I'll take that one. But normally the fourth Tuesday. All right, back to the minutes. This is from the August 19 meeting. Have you take a look at those. If there's any corrections, let me know. I can see there's one correction on page 2, item number 4. The dollar amount is wrong from Silver Spur Construction. I'll fix that as well. I think the bid was around $2,100,000. But I'll make sure that is corrected. Okay, I'll add you, Debbie.
You say you need a pen?
$2,130,000.
That sounds right.
Right here, isn't that it?
That's the one.
Yep. Okay, I'll change the name and the number. I think the CIV grant down below, I believe that's the correct amount. let's see. Item 6. The 639 should be $260,602. I'll correct that one.
Keep it.
Are there any other suggestions or corrections?
What was that amount again on 6?
$260,602.
Thank you.
We'll talk about the budget here in just a little bit. With those corrections, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay, Matt will second. Yeah, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Let's go all the way here. Okay. Aye.
All right, very good, thank you. Probably the next item, I'm working off of memory here a little bit, was the phase two of the project. Well, let's hit phase one. Just an update from Parker on phase one.
Silver Spur is on board to start the end of October. I think their clock officially starts October 29th for their contract times. We've made Tyson Ellison aware of that, and he thinks that they should be ready to start right around then. So things look good that way. I think we've got a pre-con scheduled for next week, possibly.
So when the clock starts, then they have 60 days to be working on.
No.
Or is that?
That's already started.
That's when the 60 days.
Once the
is
clock
over.
Starts, they've okay. got that. 150 or 180 or whatever we okay. got contract days to get the project.
Right, so that's the next step further than that.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. Pre-con. The pre-con is scheduled for Tuesday the 30th at 10 a.m. and we'll meet at our office. That's kind of what the big one. We'll go through just contract documents. We'll go through schedules. We'll get an update on. They need to submit all their product data, and the term we use is submittals on that. So they'll send over all their submittals. We'll review them, make sure they line up with the bid documents, and then we'll note that, and then they'll be able to order materials. I'm going to see if Bob Watts and Brody can be there because of. We're tearing up a ton of the roads, and I met with them. This was yesterday. Had a brief meeting with them, and they're fully aware of the project and where we're at. And but I think it would be helpful if they could be there.
That's the 30th at 10 a.m.
The 30th at 10 a.m. Yeah.
I've got two or three things I'd like to bring up to you in the plan, and I don't know if right now is a good time to mention them or if we should talk. Sidebar later.
Are they
Phase two.
Phase two, let's wait till later.
Okay, all right, phase two idea. There are just a couple things I'd like to, well, I guess one to phase one is, at one time it was mentioned that you guys would have nothing, no need, you guys, I'm sorry I said it that way, us guys, depends on the hat I'm wearing,
yeah.
The us guys would have, no need for the census radios and the census meters that are coming out. Is it still all right that they revert back to Elsinore Town?
Yeah, we won't need them. They won't serve any purpose for the SSD, okay. So, or we're going to the Zender to match Austin.
They're used, they've got a 20 year lifespan and they've been in there for about 8 years. They're used, they're almost half used up already.
Yeah.
But if Elsinore could reclaim them, if nobody has a problem with that, that would be great.
So from my perspective, they don't serve the purpose. I think that's kind of the SSB board and recommendation from the county on how to handle that. Our plan right now is to have them stockpiled and then whatever we need to do.
Rather than the contractor disposing of them, they could revert back to Elsinore.
So they still have value.
They still have value, but they're
not really on the open market. Like, you'd get $30 a piece for them on the open market, probably, but they have value to Elsinore Town where.
Because they could use them for parts.
Yeah. So there's really probably.
So, yeah.
I think the radios have more value because the radios don't have a shelf life that's half used up.
Right.
Okay.
I think what we might do in a future, maybe next month's board meeting, is just have the board declare them surplus and transfer them back to Elsinore Town, and that way we just get a record established that they were handled properly.
I think that'd be good.
Yeah, we'll just...
That's the procedure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I say, the radios would have more valuable, they're more valuable to Elsinore Town because they don't have that 20-year shelf life that 8 years is already used up.
Okay.
So, and... I mean, the meters have a value too, but the radio probably has a higher value than a small town.
All right.
Okay. So outside of those details for A-line, that's really the only thing that's changed since the last time we've met. And we'll get through the pre-con next week.
And if you need value from them, maybe we could do something like, you know, Elsinore Town would lease Brooklyn Tap Line, the South Center Street lot for the project in exchange for the meters or something to that effect. If a value's got to be assigned to them, to be fair to everybody who owns them or something to that effect, we could maybe do something like that.
Yeah, cool.
And not, but like that being said, if it didn't work out,
we'll figure something out.
Okay.
I do have one more thing to bring up on that real quick. So as we've pushed the B-line design along, we realized the A-line went out, the meter detail for A-line went out without any brass fittings underneath the setter, which several communities do it that way. But in Austin, we opted to do a 4-inch brass nipple, a reducer, and then a 12-inch brass nipple, which gets the plastic outside of the setter box.
I would recommend that.
Yeah, so we've gone ahead and we've got pricing back from the contractor. You know, it's six fittings on each one, I think, is what it added, six or seven fittings. I don't have pricing right in front of me, but the pricing is, I think it's like $150 or $200 a meter that they've asked for, and it's probably a little on the steeper side, but I don't feel like it's completely totally out of line based off of where we're at with them.
Brass is so expensive, right?
Brass is very expensive, and it's a ton of labor to thread all that. So kind of my thought was, we do have concurrence from Matt from the funding side.
EPA Matt,
yep. So that's one thing we'll review as we get a little more information. We'll process that change order and run it through and get everybody's approval at some point. But that's in the works right now, is just to add those fittings in.
If you can fix a line without going back into the meter barrel, you save
a lot of time.
You save the time, but you also save the risk of damaging the meter setter, which is the expensive part.
That's
especially on one inch meter setters, like $500 now.
We always do that.
So we'll make sure we have that on the B project.
That's kind of how we found it, actually, is we pulled it into the B and then realized we just had our standard detail on A that didn't include those.
Speaking of which, the larger issue here is during these projects, if there's a change order that comes up, do those need to come to the board, or do you, as a kind of construction manager, just how do you normally handle that?
Yeah, so typically, I think the bid documents actually specify a dollar amount or a percentage of the contract. Typically, smaller ones are just approved by the chairman, is how we do it on most projects, and then larger ones we'd come to the board and ask.
Okay.
If we want to do that, if we want every change order to come to the board, usually that messes with scheduling.
Time.
So the time side of things. But that being said, it would be 100% appropriate to call Brent and say, hey, this is the change order, this is what's going on and why. Do you want to call and, you know, talk to each of your board members individually and see what their opinion is? And if we have general consensus, we could go that way. I guess it's more of a procedural.
See how it goes.
How does the SSD want to handle that?
Parker was really good on Austin's to keep me in the loop. I'm good with the smaller ones just having his approval, but the larger ones need to have full board approval.
Okay.
Hopefully, there's not
too many. Give a dollar figure, or just
kind
of roughly you feel good.
So each one's a little unique and different. So like this one, I think, is probably going to be in the tune of $40,000. But again, the justification of it's a pretty solid justification, right?
It's a no-brainer.
There's, you know, maybe, I don't know, 50 is too much. you know, anything over 50, we come back and get. You'll be in the middle of all of them anyways by default, and Malcolm, you probably will too, and just the way we're kind of operating right now. So I don't think it'll really end up being a surprise to anybody. We don't want to be a surprise to anybody.
Okay.
So, you know, I think if we're, you know, 50 and less, but if we start creeping close to 50, let's include the other board members at least and get some one-on-one dialogue from them. And, if we need to call an emergency meeting to discuss something, but it's like on Austin, for example, we ended up having to switch from the west side of SR 118 to the east side, and that incurred about $110,000 jack and bore change order.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's not changing the budget.
Yeah.
I mean, we have money for this. That's really what I consider the budget.
And as long as the scope doesn't change, which, again, we're pretty well bound by the funding agency.
I think maybe if you just shoot a note out to the board members, even a text, hey, we need to do this. This is why. Respond. I think we'll be okay.
Okay.
Maybe I'll double check Steve on that to make sure.
Yeah, let me know if he has any other thoughts besides that. But I'm more than happy to communicate that to the group. But we can keep the dialogue out there. And if any of the board members have questions, you know, reach out directly and we can sort through those.
Okay. You mentioned you had a B item.
So on the B line, probably the biggest development since we met last time is we've been very actively engaged with several property owners down Brooklyn Road and Sierra Vista to move the water line off of the county road so we don't have to do asphalt repair and tear up the brand new microsurface that the county did a year and a half ago on Sierra Vista. We're looking to get rid of that old abandoned concrete ditch along Sierra Vista. Kind of the trade-off there is we're trading a bunch of asphalt repair for removing that concrete ditch, which shouldn't be super expensive, and then we'll need to rebuild some fence in some key areas for that trusset. Is kind of the main trade-off, which fence is about $20 a foot and asphalt repairs is about $100 a foot plus the long-term maintenance back to the county. Those easements, we've drafted several of them. Our surveyors are just kind of wrapping up drafting the last couple of those easements. We'll get those signed off, and then once those are signed off, we'll be ready to bid. So,
not finding a lot of resistance?
No, in fact, everybody's kind of been really easy to work with.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Very open-minded. The home just south of Raymond Jensen's house. So that'll move our bore location. We were going to go bore right on where Sierra Vista hits Brooklyn. But we've moved that to the very north end of that property. And they've been extremely easy to work with. Get rid of the concrete ditch. We don't use it. Yes, you can put your bore pit on our side of the road, and just everybody's been very, very easy to work with through there.
So that's Knights?
Yes, that would be Knights.
Are they looking for you to get rid of their whole ditch or just...
I need to look at that with Coy. I don't think they had any heartburn if we needed to take the whole thing out, but I'm not sure that we will. I think we'll be able to stay between the ditch and I think there's power lines right there.
I was thinking more along the line that they were thinking here.
Okay. Coy's been doing those conversations, so I don't know. But he's also a very good negotiator, and he's pretty frugal. So.
Good for him.
He's been good in that.
So one question as it goes across there, you know, we've thought in the past about adding those other homes. If and when, how would we do that? Would we just run a small survey, maybe four or...
Yeah, so we'd kind of look at those on an individual basis, I think. Anybody with frontage back to Brooklyn would have water line on the frontage, or we'd bore it across the road to get to them. And then there's those two or three houses that are around that loop. And I think those we'd just have to look at on a case-by-case basis and see. We will put a hydrant right there on the corner where we come through, so hopefully we'll have close enough there, and then... Yeah, maybe short term would be to run a 2-inch service down to them, and it's not ideal, but it's probably a lot better to do that for short term until the county does the next big road improvement there, and then we can run the water line the rest of the way.
Okay.
That's kind of where we're at, Beeline, coming down in front of Staker Parsons and through, down past the Hollies. We're going to be just on the south side of the right-of-way fence there, so we're getting easements from Staker Parsons, Wayne Barney, Kendall Sorensen, and then what's the gentleman very name?
Russell Meekum.
Russell Meekum. And then Steve Ayers in there too. So
yeah.
Anyways, those property owners have all been very easy to work with as well, and that's going to remove a lot of utility conflicts. Gets us out of a lot of out of the fiber, out of the gas. There's a lot of better reasons to do it. So, again, everybody's been really easy to work with and really
cooperative.
Yeah. And there's probably going to be some fence repair there too, where we'll take down a little bit of fence to get in there, and then we'll put it back. So, but again, a very good trade-off of preserving the budget for other needs, essentially, towards the other projects.
Okay. Are the district bank accounts all set to go to receive money?
They are.
Oh, perfect.
Do you need the numbers so you can...
Not necessarily. I just need to know you're ready to take money and...
Set up the deposits been made.
We took $200 out of the broken tap line and opened the account.
Okay, great. So it's active. Okay, that's...
Did she get in touch with you? She said you signed the wrong... something different. She had another form...
Well, and yeah, I did talk to her, but you come into what the bank thinks they need to protect them. You have the state what they think needs to protect them, and that's. And I said, well, that's fine and dandy, but our bylaws prohibit some of us from even signing the thing because just separation of duties. And so I says, we'll get with you and let you know which one it is. And I think it's going to be Matt. And it'd just be you two at this point. As far as signing checks.
Okay.
Do you hear that, Matt?
Yeah, I heard that.
Wake up, Matt.
get your pen ready.
Yeah, part of the bylaws and state code really is for each district they need to designate a board chair, a board clerk, or a district clerk, and a district treasurer. And each one has kind of different roles. Some of them deal with financial transactions, who can sign checks or who can have access to the account, and so forth. So on next month's agenda, we'll have the selection of those positions. And so we can get those all squared away, and just kind of a housekeeping item, important, but housekeeping item that we need to take care of. So we'll take care of that next month. The next item is, throw this out, these are pages from the bylaws. Get one for Parker there. There we go. Brent and I had a chance a week or so ago to go through the bylaws, and these items here are the ones that remain outstanding in terms of policy decisions for the board. I think we've got two on the phone. That's going to be a little bit harder for them to obviously see this or hear or see what we're talking about. And we're still okay on time, but it'd just be nice to wrap them up. So maybe what would you like to do? We can try to kind of go through them now, or do you want to do that in October and see if we can wrap them all up? And what would you like to do?
Well, what we want to do is get the bylaws all approved. So I guess my thought is why don't we go ahead and approve the bylaws with the thought in mind that next month we'll address these issues and we'll do the specifics on them.
Change them. as needed?
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and approve everything else. And then what this is, Matt and Cody, is it's talking about like how many acre feet of water and whatnot, how we're allocating the water per household and so on. And there's some discussions I think we need to have with Parker so we can figure out this out a little bit better.
Yeah, so I think quickly from the surface looking at it, the numbers here are what the state has historically required water systems to hold in reserve for each connection, for each residential connection. I'm actually in favor with the language as written, because as it starts out, you know, it says that underwater dedication is a requirement to dedicate to the district sufficient water rights of a nature and type which are acceptable to the district to adequately meet the needs of new developments as determined by the district. And unless otherwise approved by the board, this consists of 1.2 acre feet of water per standard residential connection. So that's basically what the state standards has been forever.
Okay.
I think you're in really good shape if you just approve it as is. And then, you know, we'll look at your, we need 3 years of your data as Brooklyn SSD, and then we'll redo your master plan quickly. And those numbers may change based off of your actual usage. But until we get that 3 years of usage data, it's probably best to just default to the states.
Okay.
What about the addition?
This
is so the guidelines.
Yeah. Well, so in the addition, you could split your service area, and you could manage your system with the addition service area and everybody else service area. I don't know. Because you're not irrigating a quarter of an acre, obviously, because you don't have a quarter of an acre to start with.
Yeah, we're trying to make that affordable housing.
So I guess that'd be the other thing is we could say.
But this is just what the state's saying is we have to have available.
Well, no, not you. This is what they would bring to get a new connect. So this would be your new meters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have somebody knock on your door and say, I want a tap. You say, well, I want 1.2 acre feet of water plus the connection fee. You got a deal, right? That's what this is saying. But if we want to, and I guess if we approve it as is, we could split that out and say for lot sizes smaller than, what is the?
Two lots is 0.24 acres.
Okay, so if we say for lots smaller than a quarter of an acre, you'd have your 0.45 acre feet for your indoor use, and then you know we could come up with an appropriate outdoor use.
Yeah.
That would reduce that down to probably 3/4 of an acre foot or something in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea because, I mean, really the difference in between use of somebody with acres of property and two-tenths of an acre, basically. also, we plan on putting different size meters in. We're putting a 5/8 3/4 meter in the addition lots, and we're putting a 1-inch meter in all the bigger lots all up and down Brooklyn Road and everything like that. A minimum of a 1-inch, you know, the bigger ones, like the bigger users like Brent would probably get a 6-inch flow meter into his property, but and the gravel pits or whatever, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to have two sets of a class A lot and a class B lot or something to that effect.
How big a meter at the Hollies and the Stakers?
Two inch. The thing about the Hollies meter is even though it's a 2-inch, it's still coming off a 3/4-inch hole on the line across the street. And
so
the reason
it gives you volume but not pressure.
Yeah. Is the reason is that's only a 4-inch line. And when we hot tapped that 4-inch line, I didn't dare hot tap any bigger hole in that little teeny line. So right now, it's a hole about this size going to feed in a 2-inch meter.
They'll think they died and went to heaven with the new line.
Well, it's really tricky how that works, and Parker can explain it better than I can because I think I'm on a half-inch meter.
Yeah, you're on a 5/8 meter. You've got a little meter, but you're still...
But once you make your pipe size bigger, it creates volume and pressure. And
because there's less resistance.
Yeah. Yeah. So that little hole might be wearing on.
Well, on yours, it's probably more that big already.
But it
but on Hollywood, it's still a little teeny.
Well, I think if we do what Parker would say, and maybe just approve it and then go back and, make it to two classes now, ones that are less than a quarter of an acre, but we don't know exactly what we want to put in there for.
Yeah, I was just trying to think through that real quick. I mean, they're going to have, somebody could have probably not quite half of their property in grass or outdoor water, but I mean, historically, it's probably significantly less than that. If you had them bring in 0.45 acre feet for indoor use and 0.15 acre feet for outdoor use, it'd be 0.6. That'd be half of what you'd require for the larger lots. That's just kind of a shoot from the hip number right now, but I think it's probably pretty well justified until we can, we're gonna have to make some general assumptions for what the average case will be. You're gonna have people that will maybe want to water more grass, and you'll have others that zero scape and don't have any outdoor use at all, but we kind of have to be somewhere in the middle there. But that could be somewhere to start with, and then I could look into that more for the next board meeting if we wanted to, or if we want to just hold off on that altogether, and we could get that language for the next board meeting.
Okay. Well, can we go ahead and approve the rest of the bylaws and then these
eight
items?
Yeah.
Say that we'll address them next time.
Yeah, one of the other items on this sheet is the fee schedule, the water rates and fee schedule.
And we haven't got that finalized because we still need to have whoever that guy is.
Cody.
Look at it. And there's quite a number of things we need to look at as far as how we're going to.
Yeah, and so the big thing there is just making sure your budgeted expenses are covered by your budgeted income and that we can stay in the black, so that's kind of a big thing. You're probably not going to have an impact fee because your system's basically paid for with grant, which is not impact fee eligible.
Right.
Well, but I've got thinking about that today. We basically had and are paying an impact fee, we have over the years, to Elsinore. So I think we might have an argument for that. But
yeah, so impact fee, and Cody Dieter can
because
on that
we, and we have some of those out there now that aren't being used, but would have that impact fee that has filtered through Elsinore and for us.
Right.
Is out there.
But Elsinore won't be charging an impact fee anymore if you had a connection, right? All Elsinore's looking at is...
Well, no, what I mean is we paid for that impact fee.
So you're trying to recoup
that. And we have meters or users that haven't used yet, but we've paid for it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You've paid something that hasn't been used yet.
Yeah.
Huh. But... all that's going away because it's all going to be a brand new line. It's all paid by grant. So state law is going to say, right?
That might be an Eric Johnson question.
Yeah. I think we're getting out there into some stuff that I'm not familiar with how they would view that. But as far as what's impact fee eligible is improvements that you do paid for with either cash or loan that provide additional capacity in the system. So this whole project is providing additional capacity, but it's not impact fee eligible because it's all grant. So that's, if you go out and you buy 10 water rights for future connections, those water rights can be rolled into your impact fee. You can recoup that cost as those 10 connections come on board in the future. You can charge impact fees for projects you plan to do in the next 7 years. So again, if you plan to buy water rights in the next 7 years, you'd want to start charging that today and recoup that. But again, if you get 7 years down the road from now and you haven't bought water rights, technically by state law, you've got to refund that money back to the people you've collected.
Well, so, and that brings up our biggest problem. We have people contacting us all the time for wanting to hook up. I had another one just 2 hours ago. And what we have water-wise is basically we're maxed. Right now, we're maxed. Because, you know, the additional ones that we haven't hooked on yet that are already paid for.
And there's some floating in the addition.
And some floating in the addition. But the amount of water that we're getting from Elsinore is based on all that. So all the water we have is basically allocated with what we had already in use, and the ones that have a meter or the right to a meter but haven't hooked up yet. Because that was
so
basically built into...
The agreement with Elsinore isn't enough water at this point?
Well, it is for
everything that you're planning.
For what we are.
For the 10 or so you got floating, yeah. And those that are floating in the
yeah,
addition
the,
and stuff like
the
that.
The ones that we haven't done yet.
Yeah.
And what we have. But those are already paid
but
for.
But the people are contacting you are addition to.
Yeah.
Well,
and so we have no capacity beyond the 10. Basically, that.
Yeah, because don't you have like 10 coming? Well, at this point.
Well, we have some that we haven't used. The addition has some that they haven't used, and we were.
But at this point, it's not a matter of how many meters or hookups you got because of the fact that it's not like Elsinore's going, no, you can't have another hookup. That's completely up to you.
But it's been based on what we're using.
The water that we've agreed to buy from Elsinore. Or Elsinore's agreed to sell is based on
what were
your peak month over a period of a handful of years. So again, if your water usage is what it was this year, you were at like 2.5 million gallons. Well, I guess last year, not this year's, but you were at like 2.5 million gallons, where you can go up to the 4.
So you're only halfway there.
So like, you're not wrong, but depending on how you look at it,
yeah.
If you're, you know, if Brooklyn Gardens is using what it's used historically, the gravel pits are using what they've used historically, you might be getting, you know, closer to that. But essentially, what we've asked Elsinore for is, you know, what your highest peak month has been historically. That being said, the mechanism is still set up that if you go over by 50 gallons in August, yeah, you'll get penalized for it, and Elsinore's going to make their money back for you going over, but the rest of the year, you're not going to go over that, right? So you might be using closer to that, you know, that 3.5 million gallons the rest of the year, and just it's your peak month usage that you need to be aware of, and you can handle a lot of that just through education, right? So.
Yeah, what we need to avoid is what happened at Provo City a number of years ago. They built a new city library, brand new, beautiful building. And a library expert came in and said, your building is outdated.
Already.
It is a dysfunctional library. This is before it opened. So we need to avoid the scenario where we turn on the master meters day one and we're out of water. So we're kind of relying on you, Parker, to say, you know, this is the first time I've heard that expressed that way. We need to make sure we don't have that experience.
We got to have a little wiggle room.
You got to have a little wiggle room.
Yeah.
I mean, there will be demand, no doubt. There will be demand. You're getting calls. I get calls once in a while for new meters. We need to make sure that we
We've got a little bit of time because I've told everyone I've talked to, and you can tell them the same thing.
Yeah.
Hey, all we're trying to do is right now get the system in and take care of our current customers. Once we've got that going, then we can look at how we're going to add additional ones.
There you go.
Yeah. So I misspoke a little earlier. I had the numbers wrong in my head. So taking all of your addition usage and all of this would be for the peak average month for however many years, 10 years, I think is what we looked at. So the addition, Brooklyn Tap, combine them all together, added in the 10 more that we've talked about. So extrapolating that up on 10 ERCs, that gets us to 217 ERCs basically and 4.37 million gallons peak month. And then we, or average month I should say, and then we took a 1.5 factor on that to get you your peak month, which is the 6.6 million gallons. So that's what we've asked Elsinore for, is 6.6 million gallons a month. So you've got a little wiggle room. At the naked eye, you'd look at it and say we have 50% of our average month is bandwidth for our peak month. So that's, I mean, you can look at it from a conservative eye and say we've got 10 more ERCs, or you can look at it from a, you know, water usage is changing all the time, and hopefully through this project, people will be more mindful and aware. We're going to bill them every month. They're going to see their gallons used every month. It'll be a little more education. People might use a little less water. Anything you do on that range, I mean, you could have, you could potentially have up to 100 ERCs in capacity, especially, you know, if we're talking a 2-to-1 ratio in the addition versus in the tap, or, you know, in the existing tap line site. So, you know, it all depends on a lot of factors, but, you know, I think we're trying to be as fair and honest with Elsinore as we can, but we're also saying, you know, we need a little bit of a buffer on that peak month.
Yeah.
And then from an SSD standpoint, yeah, we don't want to take advantage of Elsinore Town, but it's the contract is supposed to have some wiggle room that if you go over 1 or 2 months out of the year by a little bit, you're still going to be okay, right? Like, it's not going to break the bank. It's not going to put Elsinore out of business either. It kind of protects both sides, which would allow you to add a few more ERCs again, right? But until we get things formed and some data and kind of get through the project, it's, you know, it's hard because we're pulling data from here and we're combining it with data from there and we're trying to merge it all together and extrapolate out and project. And
So once we get the system up and going and say those 10 that are currently not being used,
There's 10 there. There's, what, 8 or 10 or 12 in the addition that we don't know where they were going. And nobody's laid claim to them that I'm aware of.
There was 110 meters sold in the addition. There are 96 active right now, and there are, I don't know, 4 or 5 maybe that I know where they are that aren't active, but the rest, I'm not sure.
So that is 14 that you...
So, in the addition, there are some that aren't active, some of the county's properties that are just inactive right now, but there are also 10 out there, and they pop up every now and again. Howard Hatch called me and said, this was a few years ago.
Said,
I want a meter on this blah, blah, blah over on 1200. And we said, there's not a meter there. And he goes, well, there's a barrel there. And I went digging for it, and there was a barrel there. And so we hooked him up.
So
but there was one, but there's still 10 that we don't know where they are out there.
So right now, Elsinore Town has an agreement or in their ordinance to provide 110 meters to the addition.
That's what originally was sold, is 110
so,
meters.
So they asked for that 110, and you're 72 plus 10, and that's where the 4.3 come from. And then
so
a 1.5 factor on that to get to the 6.6 for your peak month.
The question for us is how quickly are we going to get to max? We don't know.
We don't know.
I think it's going to be short. My guess is within a year we'll be at max.
I think what you're going to find a lot of times, everybody wants a meter, but when you say you need to give us this much water and this much money, then here's an example of.
If it's free, everybody will take one.
Yeah, is Fred Lewis is dying for a meter, and he'll sue Elsinore if we let somebody have a meter before him. However, is Fred Lewis, does Fred Lewis have thousands of dollars to put this thing together? I don't know whether he does or not.
So
well, maybe everybody wants a meter is not necessarily enough.
Because the share of water is going for 25 grand.
Yeah, they're not going to be ready to.
So that's the importance of this paragraph here is you have to, at some point you have to bring water with you. I guess it's, is at what point do we require someone to bring water?
Well, when they
apply to for a meter.
If they want a meter and they're not one of the 110 plus the additional ones we've got lined up, they're going to have to bring them. But that we, that's what we need to sit down and lay all that out and what it's going to cost, yeah. So that we can tell people.
Yeah,
because Jake Taylor is dying for a meter. Jake Taylor worked with me over at Home Depot.
What was that?
Can Jake Taylor, before we put a meter in?
Matt just texted me and said his call got dropped, and Tyler's ready, so I don't know if you want to try to recall those two and get them back on this call.
Well, that's going to be a trick.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I'm afraid to go slower than we think. People say they want them, but they wouldn't be able to come up with it.
Right.
Okay. Or they wouldn't be able to find a water right to buy because there's not that many available or something like that.
Okay, well, let's see if I can.
It might, that might pace us just because of people's financial situations. It might pace us.
You played for all grand.
Okay, I think I'm mad and mad.
I'll post it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Have we got you back, Matt?
I'll do some more digging on this and see what we can come up with. But
all right. Are you there, Matt?
Ditch out on you. But thank you.
Okay, good. We'll try and get Tyler on here now.
You know, maybe what I'll let me suggest this is to take these sheets out of the bylaws where there's still a question, and I'll email those to the board, those specific sheets.
They can look at them.
Right. And then next month, come back and say, all right, let's decide on these issues. And
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, otherwise we'll.
That way you, because they're kind of going into a blind.
Yeah, because they don't have it in front of them.
Be really good if they could be here next time.
Yeah.
So, Cody and Matt, what we're saying is, boy, if you can plan on the fourth Tuesday
in October,
be here in person, and we will take care of that. These issues that we're talking about right now, and we'll see if we can get you some information prior, so you can be looking at it.
I looked over, I think it's a testament that is based on the information, the best information that we have. If it was my own opinion, I would say, okay, I would estimate high, so the majority of people, so then we, in 2-3 years from now, we can look, or a year from now, we can look at it, and if we have to change it and lower it, people are happier. Just in general. So that's my 2 cents.
I think you're right.
Okay,
let's see. Tyler, have we got you added yet?
So, Brent?
Yes.
What you'll do is you'll add another call, and then you push click add, and then call Tyler or Cody. Looks like Cody got off too. And then you would say merge, and then click the button that says merge call. And so you'd have to do that once for Tyler and then once for Cody as well. And then all of us would be on the same call.
Can you dial one of them?
Next time, a suggestion, we'll do like a Google Meet link.
Give me a number.
So we all call them. So we have a phone number we can call.
Give me a number, I'll call one of them.
Okay.
My phone.
Call 979-4409.
4409.
Yep. Okay, let's see.
Man, I really need to be here.
Oh,
You have now joined the meeting.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
You're fine.
What, so who was I talking to, Cody or Matt?
You were talking to Matt.
Always bring Scott. Up the same screen.
Call the other one.
Call the other one.
Give him the number. Scott will call the other one.
Okay, so who are we? I put Matt. You got Tyler, and you need Cody. Okay.
Yep, so add, and then click Cody, and then it'll call him, and you can just click merge call. So after you call him, you can immediately click your. Or
you
can talk to
him
for a second, and
then tell him that you're at him, and then you can click the merge call. 979-3881.
Who am I talking to?
Cody. Okay, we're
going
to have all of you.
Yes. Cody, you're in the meeting again.
All right. Hold Everybody's on. Here.
I got you.
Okay. So, I don't know if you didn't hear that, Cody and Tyler. We're going, what we've been talking about is the water system policies, how many acre feet, when they're coming for a new connection and so on. And we're going to...
Would you like me to describe that again?
Yes. We'll let Malcolm describe what we're doing.
So in the bylaws, there's about five or six sheets where there's still just a question about how the board wants to approach those. So I'm going to take those five or six sheets and email those to you tomorrow so you can look at them. And then in next month's meeting in October, we'll specifically hit those five or six sheets, reach consensus, and then the bylaws we can pass and get that done.
And maybe in the meantime we can get with, who is it?
Tyler. Yeah.
And go over those
rates.
Fees and rates so that we know we got enough that we're going to cover our bases. And
yeah, he'll build for us a budget with revenues and expenses so that we know that our rates will cover operating costs.
Okay.
So that's something still in the works. So if that's okay with the board, I'll send it out tomorrow and we can have a better prepared and informed discussion.
Good.
I think earlier we kind of roughed those numbers and it was good. And then it sounds like we have, what, 1.5 million extra gallons per month is what we buffered in?
Yeah, it's in that neighborhood.
Okay.
But we'll have Parker flesh that out again, detail that out again next month.
Get more of an exact sort of rough, but in the rough, it sounds good.
Right, right. What will save the system from being overwhelmed is requiring new connections outside of this base number to bring their own water, which is very typical, very normal, with cities and towns wanting to add water. So that's how you keep the crowd control.
And I've told everybody that, and you can't do it. They talked.
Yeah.
That makes sense. If we have enough extra for 40 connections and we add 20, that still gives us, 20 buffering until we get more water.
Right, right. So I think we'll be all right.
Okay, sounds great.
Let's see. I think
you'll find that a lot of the meters in the addition, even in the middle of summer, they use like winter water because they have no yards that they're watering. And I'm talking like over half of them. Their winter and summer usage is almost the same all year round. And that'll save water to where we wouldn't go over and have to pay premium prices to Elsinore.
But there's just a lot of unknowns, and that's the way it is now. But if we make it more appealing out there, they all might turn around and double that too. That's what we need to look at.
Just an example. Yeah. So Annabelle started metering all their irrigation water, and the rate or the usage went plummeted. It's way down now that people are actually just held accountable for what they use. So I think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll learn and move forward. Let's see, we've talked about bylaws, the budget. Now that the district can receive money, we'll get that transferred over, and then we'll still need to figure out how to budget for this construction project. So I'll get with Steve, and I may talk to Candace and Heather at CIB to see how they handle it.
Okay.
And I have that bill from Jones and DeMille.
Okay.
And so we're already past due. I'd like to...
Could you forward that bill to me? Do you have it with you by chance?
I do. Okay. Somewhere.
Okay. I think that concludes the agenda.
Malcolm, are you going to be around on Friday?
I am.
What's a good time that I could come and visit with you on Friday just to kind of get the ins and outs of what I can do to help?
Stop by any time.
Okay. And she's got the bank account. Would you just
coordinate with Debbie?
Coordinate with Debbie. Figure out how to get the money there.
Move it from that line to the SSD.
Yeah, we're going to write.
Well, this would be from the county.
Okay.
To the SSD. We haven't done the.
I haven't got any of the deposit slips or anything like that from them yet.
Yeah.
Well, call them up and tell them to send us.
What bank are you at?
Utah Independent Bank.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you have I guess you don't need the account number.
Not yet.
Is that the Monroe Bank?
Yeah.
That's what Elsinore uses too.
Okay.
Is that Monroe Bank?
This invoice, okay.
Anybody else have anything?
No, that's all.
Okay, I think that's it.
Hey, this is Tyler. I should be a much better board member now that hopefully the fire season is winding down and should be around more. So appreciate your patience.
Well, Matt said you needed to come so you could learn how to conduct this meeting.
You're the man.
All right, I guess that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, so it'll be 4th Tuesday.
Yep, 6 p.m.
Okay, we'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Accept that motion, and they all left, so I guess they're in favor.
I'm still here.
Oh.
I just hung up on Cody.
Say aye.
Say aye.
Sorry, Cody.
Aye.
Okay. I just hung up on him.
Okay, thanks.